Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Endgame with Counselor Kenya Colbert as your host, where every episode is designed to build positive life choices that win. What's your endgame?
Hello, guys, and welcome to Your Endgame. I am your host, Kenya Colbert, and I am so excited to have you here tonight. Before I get started, guys, I'd like to wish you a happy Good Friday. I hope that your day has been marvelous, that it has been restful and not stressful, and that everything leading into your weekend has been positive. So I hope that it's great for you guys. So for the last week coming into this week and going into next week, we have a three-part series. And this time around, we're focusing on the male crisis. And this week I'm calling it the daily life challenges and why survival of men begins within. So we're going to talk about that, guys. So manhood, that place where only the strong survive. It's funny that through all of this life that we get to live, certain things we don't have a choice about. And whether you're going to be a male or female, born that way, that is something that when we're born, we can't choose. It just is chosen for us. But with those titles, male, female, come a lot of expectations. We're going to talk about those tonight. Last week, I had great guys on the show. They did a wonderful job opening up this three-part series for me. I really love their take on where they were coming from. They did an excellent job just taking us through the steps, the beginning steps of what a man is thinking. A lot of times as women, as females, you know, we are on the outside trying to figure it out, just like you guys are for us. You know, we're always trying to figure out what the other one is thinking. And sometimes you've got to stop wondering and you have to just start asking. So this is my attempt at asking what men are thinking instead of trying to guess or assume that I know. So this week, we are focusing on the movie Hiding in Plain Sight. I hope that you guys were able to watch that movie. It was just really heart-wrenching. It was hard to watch, but it happens every day. So I could not put myself in that place of, I don't want to see how this goes because it's so sad. I actually ended up crying through a lot of it because it was just too true. It hit so many levels of a lot of people's lives, my own included. Like sometime in life, there's a point in life where we can't control things. Sometimes things get out of control. They go left, right, and we just have to live with what it is and try to make the best out of whatever the situation is. So this movie really, really does focus on that. The plot of the movie, for those who did not get to watch the movie, is a hardworking couple. They've been plagued by bad luck. They face the grim reality of being homeless. Their hope is almost gone, and hopefully by faith, faith may offer them the answers that they've been looking for. So you get to kind of walk with them through this story of being in one place. Who hasn't been there where you're on top of the world and you feel like everything is great? You feel like you can do whatever you want to do and life seems to be treating you kind. And then in the blink of an eye, you would be amazed at how quick you can go from being on top of the world to feeling like you're underneath the world. And that's where this movie focuses. It takes us there really from the beginning, and it walks us all the way through, guys. So I am hoping that you did get to watch that. For and guys, for my guys that I have who are calling in tonight, who are on my panel, you can call in now. I'm actually waiting on my three gentlemen who are sitting on our panel tonight to call on in. And until they call in, I will continue. So for you guys, if you are listening and you want to weigh in on this conversation as well, please feel free to give me a call at 818-495-6923. So that's how you can contact me. We can talk about it, because this week's show is really talking about the problems that everyone faces in life, but I want to focus on the men tonight. So what happens when what you're planning does not fall through? It does not come through. And it's going to happen. You can plan all you want to do, but at some point in life, you're going to find that things just did not go as planned. So the question is always, how do you push through? How do you come out better than when you went through it? Because hopefully, you know, the testimony part of that, being able to encourage someone else, and that's why I think that we all go through something, is so that it's not just something that we went through and woe is me. It has to be a teachable moment. It's for you to learn something, but for you to also go and share it with somebody else. Help them pull through. Help them to understand that bad times don't always last long. And sometimes they do, but when they do, you have to keep the faith and believe that things will get better. And I'm a witness that things do get better. Sometimes they don't work as fast as I want them to. Because you know what they say, everything is in God's time, not our time. But in the meantime of waiting to see when he thinks that we are ready, how are we working towards the goal, our end game of being prepared when the good things do come around? When things start to change, are we ready for the change? Because you can't say that you want things to get better, but then you don't plan for when they become better. Because what happens is you get comfortable and complacent in that space. And before you know it, you'll find yourself back where you just left. That's not what we want. We do not want that, right? So while you're trying to get your life together, while you're trying to push through the hard times, it's good to think towards the end. See your end game. See where you're going. And then you follow that path to get there. So there you go, guys. I am still waiting on my panelists to call in. If you guys can give me a call, 818-495-6923. If you are listening and you'd like to join in on the conversation until they arrive, that'll be great. So, guys, let me tell you a little bit about this movie. This movie, father, mother, two children, one is six. I think the other one might be about 11, 12 years old maybe. And the parents, the way the movie opens is the parents seem to be happy for a second because they're in church. And they're in church, but then just have you ever, and I'm just asking you guys, Have you ever been in church or been somewhere and someone asked for money from you that you actually don't have to spend right there like that? And I'm including church in that because I have been there where they might say, and in this movie, the pastor asked for every man to get $500 today. And I think that they know that everybody's not going to get $500 today, but they're hoping that you will, you know, tithe or give offering something. And this family, the father was stuck right there, caught between giving his last $10 to the church or holding on to it and being able to do the things that will help him just one more day. What we soon find out is that the family is living out of their car. So you're thinking, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I just can't even imagine God would want me to give that $10. Maybe that's just me, but I'm just thinking that I can't imagine him wanting me to give the $10, or maybe that was a part of faith that I was supposed to give the $10, but that was his struggle. So who else has been stuck right there, and what am I supposed to do here? Because a lot of times when we're going through things, we want to do what's best, but we also want to take care of the moment. And a lot of times, you know, and especially if you're a person who is a person who is a faith person who believes in God or believe in whoever your God may be, that you think that or you hope that and feel that he will understand that this might not be for the church right now. This $10 might have to feed the kids right now. Or was it a test? And I looked at the movie and I was trying to figure out, was that a test for him? Well, guess what? He gave the $10. He did. And that might have been a test. I don't think it was, but it could have been a test, because sometimes it is a test of our faith to see how much do we trust that what we want will come through. So he gives the money. His wife later kind of addresses him and says, but that was our last $10 for gas and for food. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I can't even put $10 in my car to move the needle a little bit. And I drive a small SUV, so I can't imagine $10. And they were in an SUV as well. So what is it about that moment that said, okay, I have to trust, I'm going to give? And then to look at your wife and your family and your children and know that you just gave that $10 away. So if you're listening and you're a man especially and you want to weigh in on that, I would love to hear what a man has to say about that. And what is it that you do in that case? Because we've all been there. We've all been in the situation where we don't have much, but there's a lot that we're supposed to do with it. So that's where he starts. And then we get to the next part of the movie, which goes to the grandmother telling the minister that her son, that her grandson has a great job, and that he and she thinks that he has a great job because he once had a great job. But what she does not know is that he has lost that job. And whether it's pride, whether it's embarrassment, whether there's a little bit of shame there, maybe it's a little bit of all of it. He does not correct her. And the pastor is asking for the money, and the wife is trying to get them out of the church so that her husband, because her husband is clearly embarrassed. Who wouldn't be embarrassed? But not just embarrassed because the pastor, and that's what I want to talk to men about, I, as a person, felt that for him as a man, for supposedly should be the breadwinner, the leader, the head of the household, for him not to have the money, I can imagine worrying about being judged in that moment, even though he was a victim of circumstance, basically. So that part kind of got to me. I'm like, wow, how do you handle that? Because you don't want to lie to the pastor. You don't want to stand up in church and tell a lie. Or you don't want to stand in front of your family and admit that things are hard, because that happens. But there's something about people in all of us, I promise you, even the best of us, have this thing that jumps inside of us when we see people going through things sometimes that we think they should not be going through. We become a little judgmental for a second. But then you have to remember, that used to be me, that could be me, that might be me one day, and it changes how you react to people. Now, if I saw a pattern in this guy of people trying to help him and them trying to do better and his wife trying to help and the children are trying to help and he's blowing the money or he's not going to work or he's not being a hard worker, then I would have seen him differently. But from what the movie showed us is that the guy really was trying really hard. He was going out every day looking for a job. But he was looking for a job on the street. He couldn't find a job, and they mentioned later in the movie that he was an IT guy. So he lost his job, and that's all he's trained in. And there's an incident in there where there's a person comes up, a man that drives up, and he's looking for workers. And he's asking questions about, you know, fixing something like, you know, who knows about a hole? Who knows how to fix this? Who knows how to drill? And the father says, I do, because he's just trying to get the job. That tickled me, and I'm going to tell you why. Because who has not applied for a job and you don't meet all of the qualifications, but you're thinking to yourself, I can learn. Give me a chance. Give me an opportunity to get in there. And I promise you, I will do my best to learn that job so that I can keep it. And that's what he was trying to do. That father was trying to, he was lying. He didn't know. His response to the man was so clear that he did not know. And the man was like, what? No, next. And he didn't get it. So I could relate to that, because there are just so many times when you're applying for a job and they start asking for all of these things and they start asking for all of these qualifications or this experience, and you're just thinking that I've done so many harder things than this, that if somebody actually taught me, I know I could do it, but I just need a chance. I need somebody to take a chance on me and give me an opportunity to get in there. And that's what the father did. Didn't work, but he tried. So that's one part of the movie. A second part of the movie is when there's a teacher there who is a father and a husband, and he's working with students every day who are going through some things. And I work with teachers every day as well, and I work with students every day as well. And it really struck me so deep to see that side of it, because you hear stories and you hear kids, you know, saying things to each other, or, you know, their parents tell you things. But it was something about watching those children go to school like it was a normal day, like they were leaving from their homes, from their warm, comfy beds, and brushing their teeth in the morning, and mommy's kissing them goodbye, and daddy's taking them to school, and all of that. But that was not their story. They caught the bus home, quote unquote home, and home was a parking lot with other cars just like them, parents who were now homeless and struggling and trying to make it. And those parents of the children who were getting off the bus there, their parents were going down for financial aid from the county. They were trying to get food stamps. They were trying to get housing. And these were the people who actually hadn't received that yet. So while they were waiting to see if they qualified or if they actually got what they applied for, they lived in their car. These children, the daughter says that, "I haven't taken a bath in months. The kids are picking on me." And I was thinking about that as a parent. We're so weighed down by our lives. We're weighed down by the things that we go through. We're weighed down by all of the bills that need to be paid, all of the other relationship issues, career issues, you know, at work issues, family issues. And sometimes we forget, or we think that kids, their problems can't be as big. Sometimes their problems are as big as ours. The difference is that they don't understand why. And that's what happened here. They weren't eating enough. They didn't have any food. So they were living off of the food bank. And the food bank had ran out of food. And the kids were hungry. So the father was out trying to get work. They shared with another couple who lived next to them, and I say live because their car was parked next to their car in this group of cars. And the two men actually watched each other's car at night. So this one would sleep for a little while, and then the other one would watch both of their families as they slept in their cars. And then the other one would wake up and do the same thing. See, when things like that, when I watched that, it gave me a whole new reality of what other people are going through. And it took me back to that thing of just when you think you're going through the worst, just when you think that you've seen the worst, why me, why me? And there are people out there living in their cars with their children. And the crazy part is that there is somebody looking at them thinking to themselves, wow, I wish we had a car that we could live in. But unfortunately, we don't have a car, so we're living in a cardboard box. Life is deep. This movie actually kind of gave me a reality check, and I'll keep saying that because sometimes we get so comfortable within ourselves, we get so comfortable within our own type of life, and we see things happening rough for us, and then we start that woe is me. But then it takes you back to that, you know, I used to be the man who cried because I didn't have any shoes, but then I ran into the man who didn't have feet. And that's how I felt watching this. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure for any man. But what it also was a lot of pressure for was for the women who stood with them. If you watch this movie, the men were going through. The men were frustrated and mad and angry and even angry at God. But the women, they had good women beside them. So for every man, I think that the whole goal of being a man is not just to take care of the world, but it's to take care of a woman. It's to be the leader of a family, not just to be a leader of yourself. That whole thing of being a king, I asked the guys about that last week, being a king. And that one thing about being a king that really kind of disturbed me, and so I can say this now since the guys haven't, I don't have anyone that has called in yet. So I can say this until they call in and they can speak for themselves. But I have a whole thought on kings, because in my mind, a king is over a kingdom. A king has to reign over something, meaning that it has to have, a king has to have someone to talk to, someone to grow with, someone to help him make it through the hard times. It's not easy. Just like the same thing for a woman. We need each other. So it's cool that as, you know, men being leaders, but to be a king to me, you can't just be a king without having a kingdom, without having a queen, without having a little prince and a princess, you know, without having that authority over others, other things. That's what makes us kings. That's what makes, hold on, that's what makes men kings. And I saw that in this movie. He struggled not with being just a man. He struggled with being a man who knew that he was supposed to do and be more, that he was supposed to carry the weight. And the hard part for him was that he was unable to carry the weight. He was struggling. But the great part of this movie is that he did not struggle alone. He had a helpmate. He had someone beside him who could be there to listen when he needed to vent, be there to hold his hand and to hug him and love him and tell him that, you know what, I hear you, I feel you, and I'm with you. So guys, the movie, please watch this movie. You'll love it. I promise you, you'll love it. The second part was the teacher. Now, the teacher, Mr. Allen in here, he was the one who went and took care of other kids. And that's how come I said, when you work with kids every day, you go in and you think to yourself, wow, I see 30 little faces. In my case, I see big faces. I see big kids. These are high school students. But what we don't always think about, because we're in the middle of everything that's going on in that environment at the time, is who do they go home to? What do they go home to? So as parents, it is our job. It is our job to say, you know what? Let me not look so hard at me all the time. Let me try to look at all of this from my child's point of view. And once you do that, it will kind of give you a new perspective. And it'll give you that, and don't get me wrong, I know as parents, we all think that we're doing the right thing. We all think that we're loving our children just right. We all think that they get it and they understand. And sometimes they do. But sometimes, just sometimes, they need for us to look at them, look at their situation, and stand on that side. And these children, the father was, you know, he was trying to be a good dad, and he was being as good a dad as he could be in that situation. They wanted to make sure their daughter was still getting her schoolwork. They wanted to make sure that she wasn't slipping behind, but she was. because the pressures of the parents fall on the children, whether we know it or not. Sometimes we forget that, but the pressures of the parent really does fall on the children. How? Sometimes you have a parent who does not know how to handle stress. And when they don't know how to handle stress, how they react to the world, how they react inside of their house, is who the children see. And sometimes you have, we do so well out there. Out there, we hold it together. We try to do our best. We try to look strong. We try to look like leaders. We try to, but when we get home, it's time to put all of that weight down. And sometimes that weight that we put down on the people who are there waiting for us to get back home. It's not intentional. It's not on purpose. But the weight has to hit the ground at some point. My only advice to anyone would be to seek help somewhere else. Don't put your weight of the world down on the children. And I know people don't think that they're doing that, but sometimes when we talk to our children too much, we tell them so much of what's going on that we actually add the worry to them. And they are not allowed to be children because we are weighing them down. I asked the guys last week about mentors for children. Like, who are the mentors? So for my men, I'm always trying to find out, who are you as a man mentoring? Who are you leading? If you have children, I pray that you are mentoring them. But if you don't have kids, there's enough kids in this world for every man in this world to at least have one person, one male that they are trying to positively influence. So it's never an excuse to me. And I find that, unfortunately, that's not the case when it comes to men that feel that. And see, I hate to speak on behalf of men, guys. You know that's not my purpose here tonight. But my guest did not call in, so I have to speak from who I am and not from what I think they would say. And a big part of manhood is to be the leader, is to lead your family, is to lead the children, is to lead our communities. And unfortunately, when we talk about the male crisis, that is a problem. The men talked last week. I'm repeating what they said last week. A lot of boys are raised by single moms. And that causes problems sometimes because they actually need that male figure in their life. I can see the absence of the male figure every day. Every day it breaks my heart, just from sagging to profanity to giving up on life and doing crazy stunts in life, thinking that there are no consequences. But sometimes as role models, meaning, and I asked, should we have role models last week? And the guy said yes. So in order to have role models, the people who are the role models have to set good examples. And not after they get in trouble, but before. So that part in the movie was the teacher, Mr. Allen. He was a teacher who cared about his students. He knew when they were absent. He knew when they were really just absent too much. Not once, not twice. But, yeah, it's like they're absent a lot. He goes and finds out. He had a student who his mom... The kid's mom took him out of school because I guess the other children, she had other children that she needed to take care of. She was trying to work. He was older, so she was putting that responsibility on him to kind of give step in the place of the man of the house, I think. So I can't blame the mother, but I do blame the mother. I can't blame the father who's not there, but I do blame the father that's not there. Because at the end of the day, the child should not be the man of the house. The man should be the man of the house. The king is the male, the adult male of the house. So part of the male crisis is that there are a lot of males who are not there. And we talked about that. We had a guest last week where he had step-parents. He had a stepfather who came in, and that helped. And his stepfather helped to finish raising him after, you know, the mom and the father broke up. So he was lucky, he was blessed to have a stepfather to step in and do a good job, actually, of trying to instill what was right. And then we had the second panelist last week, and he openly talked about his parents both being on drugs and not being in the household like that, and being raised by his grandmother, and but the father, even though he was not in the household, even though he was on drugs, he managed to stay active in their lives. His mother passed away, but the father stayed active and is still active to this day. So just because we fall short sometimes does not mean that we'll never improve. Things will never get better. No, every day is an opportunity to start over, to change. And I think that's a part of being an adult. I can't even speak from a man right now because I don't have one on the air. But I can speak to being an adult. Being an adult means that, you know, you put away those childish ways. You put away your childish attitudes. You put away your childish activities. You become an adult. And when you become an adult, you prioritize the things that you do in life, and you understand that all of your actions have consequences. And that's a big deal. That's growth. That's becoming a king. That's becoming a queen to me. And again, you guys know me with that king and queen thing. I really do believe that, and I know people will probably be mad at me about this, but I believe that I can be all the woman that God has made me to be. But I cannot be a queen without my king. And a king needs a queen. But a king can be a king without a queen, because he can have a kingdom. He was meant to be the leader. He's the lead. But in order for a woman to be considered in royalty and all of that, to be considered a queen, she first has to have a king. So all of these men who are not stepping into their role actually cut back on the role of the female to become the actual queen. That's deep. That's all I'm saying. That's deep. And in this movie, she called him her king. Even though he didn't have anything right now, she called him her king because he was there. He did not quit. He did not walk away. They were homeless. They were hungry, but they were together. See, sometimes the kingdom is inside of you. And I felt that from them. I felt that from them. So, guys, I'm going to take a quick little break because we have this hot new artist out, and they call her the Mic Queen. You see how I did that? Yeah. And Mike Queen is saying, I need a man. And I thought that I ended last week with that song and got great reviews for it. So I'm going to play you guys a little bit of it now, and then we'll pick right back up. And we'll get ready to close out in a few minutes. But after this.
Need a man, one wallet holding down his castle with the game plan. And if he wanna give me hassle, I ain't saying, man. I keep it way more than 100, I'm a fan, bang.
I need that K-I-N-G energy that fill me on a spiritual level. And don't make deals with the devil. See, first we gotta be compatible. Do we really match? When I close my eyes at night, can I trust you got my back? If like trying to tear me down, can you really build me up? Can we always feel fluid and never feel stuck? These are questions that I gotta. Hoping you participate. Every standard that I say, you bet I'm gonna reciprocate.
Man, I need a man. One wallet holding down his castle with the game. And if you wanna give me hassle, I ain't saying, man. I keep it way more than 100, I'm a fan, bang.
Man,
I need a man. One wallet holding down his castle with the game.
She said that pride, the movie talks about the pride of men a lot. Like that's the whole crux of the movie. It's like it keeps coming back to pride or too much pride. So my question is there a thing as too much pride or what about not enough pride? So in this movie, we're focusing with too much pride. So the wife is saying that out of all the things that they're going through, that we don't have a place to stay, you know, we're doing this. And the grandmother is talking to him. Once all of this stuff comes out, she finds out that they're living in a car. And the first thing the grandmother says is that he's always had too much pride. And then the wife, she's talking to him and she says, you know what, you're just, it's all about your pride. We have to ask for help. And sometimes help is right there. Sometimes things don't have to be as bad as they are, but it would take for us, and in this case, man, to put his pride aside enough so that things can be better temporarily, so until he gets himself together. And I was watching this movie and I was thinking to myself, what about their friends? What about their family? And he never mentions it. But the wife is talking to the grandmother, and she said, well, we did have friends, and they let us stay with them for a little while, but things didn't change, so we had to go. And we did have friends and family who offered us money, but it didn't last. You know, we still had to stand on our own sooner or later, because all of us know we've had people, and we've maybe even been that person to have to ask for help. But there's only so much help you can kind of keep giving. You know, after a while, it's like you yourself, you're looking at your own bills. And then if you're the person asking, it becomes embarrassing. And I think the husband got to that point. But what he did not do was quit. So, yeah, his pride got in the way. Yeah, he didn't want to go and ask anyone else or live with anyone else anymore. He was tired of that. They tried it. It didn't work. And sometimes in life, when we think that trouble has lasted way too long, we start to lose faith. We start to lose hope. But that's where that thing inside of you, and let me just say inside of me, when I feel that I'm getting frustrated or I'm not doing all that I need to be doing or I'm not where I want to be yet, ha-ha, you see that, yet. Because when you put a period in your life, you're cutting God off. But when you put that little comma in there, there's something continuing. There's another part of the story. The story does not end there. Why? Because I didn't put a period there. I just paused for a second. In life, we learn to pause for a second. We learn how to breathe. Hoo-sah. We learn how to redirect the negative energy until the tide turns. And it always turns. But you can't give up. And in this story, the man wanted to give up. But he had what? A good woman beside him. So we have to kind of listen to that. We have to kind of stay with that part of, let's not do it alone. Let's do it together. The good times and the bad times. Who wants to go through bad times alone? Who wants to go through good times alone? But unfortunately, our men are the leaders. So for all the women all over the world, I'm asking men to step up, get in your place, get in your position so that you can do this, so that you can lead us to better family, better relationships, self-relationships with yourself, just a better love for yourself. And I know it's frustrating and it makes you mad. I heard last week listening to the guys and it broke my heart. You know why? Because everything that they told me was true. But like we said last week, we don't focus on the problem. We focus on the end game. We focus on solutions. Problems are temporary. Watching this movie, I'm not going to tell you all of it. I want you to watch the rest of it. I was going to discuss it with the guys tonight, but I want you to go. You can find this movie anywhere. So, you know, we all have Fire Sticks and all of these movie streams. It's out there. Came out in 2012. Great movie. Just go watch it because it'll touch something in your heart, I promise you. I don't care how hard you think you are. When you watch this movie, when you watch Hungry Children, when you watch the wife struggling to look for a job every day but have to wear the same the same suit to the point that people start telling her that she smells. man, this thing broke my heart. People telling the children, because we know we bathe every day. But what happens when you don't bathe every day? What happens when you don't eat every day? What happens to the mind? What happens to the spirit when you're broken every day? You cannot rely on yourself. You cannot. You have to look to a higher power to help you make it through the hard times. So, guys, I appreciate you hanging in there with me tonight, even though it says a male crisis and not a man called in tonight. That's okay, because everything happens for a reason. And do understand that the crisis is real. It's too many of us separate, too many people together who are separate. Meaning that under the same roof, but going in different directions. But it takes the head to get itself correct. Because you do understand that when the head is right, when the head thinks and does what it's supposed to do, the body follows. The brain, the head, it leads the rest of everything else. Don't give up on yourself, men. Don't give up on women. And ladies, do not give up on the men. We need each other. That's it. We just do. So why survival of man begins within? Because until he fixes his inside, everything that comes on the outside becomes tainted. Until man sees his worth, until man understands that he has a king inside of him, he just needs to allow that king to come out. He just needs to stand up and take his place in this world. And yes, we do have a lot of men doing it. I had 3 such men coming in here tonight for you guys. But I know something must have happened that they can't be here. And that's okay, because life happens. But the question is, what did you get from tonight that you didn't already know, that you had forgotten about, that you needed to have instilled or stroked or brought back to life? Everything has a purpose. And my purpose is to come to you every Friday night and to always bring you the goodness, the positive side of life. Even in negative situations, God wins. So, guys, remember that. Don't give up. I need for my men, if I can say it 1,000 times, don't give up. Don't choose to be alone. Don't choose to hold in all of this negative energy. Don't choose that. Don't let your pride put you in a place where you're living tortured. So, guys, that counselor in me came out tonight, and as it goes, I didn't have any other choice, and I thank God for an opportunity to be able to talk to you guys always, and thank you so much for joining me. Guys, it has been a pleasure. I will be back next Friday, and next Friday I'm getting some men up in here. You hear me? I love you guys. Have a great weekend. Oh, happy Easter, guys. Please be safe.
In life, you either go hard, or go home. Woo! I got the heart of a lion. I prey on competition. Y'all quit trying. I'm